And it's my great pleasure today to welcome Harlan Meeks from the Low What Living podcast. Welcome to the show, Harlan.
Thank you for having me on. Do you prefer James or Jim or?
James.
Only James.
J. Yeah, okay. I'm very anti.
No Jimmy boy or nothing?
Yeah, I'm anti-Jim in all of its forms. So it's a weird neurosis-y of mine, but whatever.
Well, I have a friend named James, and he likes Jamie.
Yeah,
James
is one of those names where, like, almost all of us will go by a variant. Like, I go by James, and there's Jamie or Jay or Jimmy or Jim or whatever. Not many of us go by James by itself, so. Thank you for having a name that I can pronounce.
Harlan, yes.
Yeah, the last couple of guests have had either first or last names that were like, I murdered them, and
well, that's why my wife married me, because her last name was Shostowski.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I know.
I've always believed that women will subconsciously at least pick a husband with a last name that they like better than their own.
Exactly.
Except, I had this one girl that I worked with at a previous place. Her name was Shay, and she married a man named Day. Shay Day.
Oh, gosh.
And I'm like, why did you do that to yourself?
I do like the name Shay, though.
Yeah, but not so much Day.
No. Jessica yeah. Day.
Yeah, see, or... I don't know.
It's off a show.
Yeah. Anyway. As I say, I don't know if you remember the show Murphy Brown back in the day, but there was news anchor on there named, I think, Courtney Sherwood, and she married a guy on the show named Forrest. Her name is Courtney Sherwood Forrest. I was like, oh, that's... Yeah, good one, guys. I was before my time that I should have been watching. I was like 7 or something. I'm like, oh, that's funny. I don't get none of the jokes. So
anyway.
We've already rambled for like 30 minutes. So let's get into the show. Who is Harlan Meeks, and how did you get on this whole survival, low what, living kick?
Well, originally, I'm the youngest out of 10 kids, and... When my parents moved back from Utah, they lived here and then moved to Utah and then moved back. My father bought a open piece of land. He took the forest down, everything. They dredged out a pond. He built the house with his bare hands with the help of my brothers and sisters, dug the well, dug the leach field for the sewage, everything they did by themselves. And that instilled in me a sense of do-it-yourselfness, and I kind of wanted to bring that to a podcast. And the reason I decided to go low-watt living is because it encapsulates a lot of things that has to do with survivalism, not just energy, but your body movements is a form of wattage, because wattage is a term that is energy output. So I wanted to encapsulate batteries, movement, gardening, everything I could into this little low-watt living aspects capsulized and put out there for everybody, really.
Excellent. I like
that explains
you include
it for you.
The body and whatnot. I tend to – I use the term economy of motion to try to streamline most of the things I do, like – instead of taking like 14 steps to do something, if you can take like 2 steps, not physically, like if you can reduce a process down to the least amount of steps, then I find that to be better. Except for
same thing with hiking. When you, instead of stepping up on something, just to step back down.
Exactly. I mean,
if you're a hiker, I don't know if you are, but you step over it instead of stepping up, stepping down.
Right. Yeah. So that's a good example. Except for sometimes I'll deliberately expend more energy just to, you know, for exercise or whatnot, you know, like you park further away in a parking lot. But for a lot of like the menial repetitive tasks, like I'd rather economize them to make them easier than
ergonomics.
Yeah, exactly. Like the Japanese found out that if you stir your coffee with a spoon back and forth instead of in a round motion, you stir it more efficiently. So there's that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, basically, we should put shaker balls in coffee. Shake them up.
I actually just
I don't drink coffee. I don't know.
Yeah,
don't ask me.
I use
I drink
blender.
Water. I drink. I've it's what, almost noon. I've drank almost a little more than a half gallon of water. So oh, wow. I drink about a gallon a day, every day.
I need to. I need to. I've had a pot of coffee and two energy drinks, but I've been awake since 2:30 a.m.
Ooh, my wife's lost 50 pounds in the last year just for changing our diet and drinking water and no pop and everything else.
Yeah, it well, as I say, I drink diet ones, but they really aren't that great. I choose a diet energy drink that uses xylitol instead of aspartame. But that, anyway, tell me, tell me about this low watt living podcast you mentioned.
Well, I'm up to 49 episodes now. I started it specifically talking about batteries. Originally, because that's what I was really super passionate about, battery backup systems, solar, alternative energy. And that all started because I built a wind turbine out of just parts I found at a hardware store. It was actually most of it was Harbor Freight. I got a little DC motor, and I spun it backwards with some PVC pipe that I had hooked to it, and it has over 340,000 views on YouTube now.
Sweet.
I said, wow, I know. I was shocked. I said, you know, there's really a lot of people out there that want to know about this sort of thing. So I started with rechargeable batteries, building your own deep cycle battery backup system in case the power goes out, generators, that sort of thing. And it just flourished into all kinds of things now. Gardening and apple trees And the reason why apple trees is because if you put a garden out, you got to weed the garden, you got to water the garden, you got to do all these things, which I said, how can I streamline that and make that a lot easier? Well, I plant an apple tree. If I break my arm and break a leg, I'm not going to be out there, you know, after a disaster, I'm not going to be out there weeding the garden, but I can go out and pick an apple, even with a broken arm, broken leg. You know, and once they start growing up, you don't have to water them, you don't have to do anything to them. They're self-sustaining.
I do like trees for that, and shrubs, and the perennials that don't need, you know, any attention whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Raspberry bushes, that sort of thing.
Yeah, all that good stuff. That's good. Let's see. A throwback here. You called into my show with the question of what do I do for emergency lighting during a power outage? Well, what do you do?
Well, with having young kids, 4 and a 2-year-old here at the house, I also have teenagers as well. They don't live with me. But I have to have something that is very durable and won't get crushed by kids. They can throw around and it won't hurt them. And I have LED lanterns. The specific ones I use are the Rayovac Sportsman. Mm-hmm. They use 4 D-cell batteries, and they will last on low 90 hours. And on high, 40 hours. And it's 240 lumens on high.
Nice.
Yeah, these things are amazing. I've been using them for 4 years. Each of the kids have one in their bedroom. They throw them around. They toss them. And they really hold up. Other than that, I use, like, my favorite flashlights. I have the mini Maglite 2 AA cell LED, which I've used for quite a long time. That thing's very rugged. And a new product that I've been using for the last year called the Luminoodle. I don't know if you've heard of this or not.
I've not heard of that one, actually.
It is a LED. You just plug it into a little battery pack or anything that you can plug an LED in. And it's a rope light, but it's flat. And it's flexible. You can wind it up. You can twirl it around your head, all kinds of stuff. And this one is my 44,000 – let's pick this one. My 20,000 milliamp hour battery pack. It'll run 33 hours on that. And it's very bright, and that's the newest thing I've been using. But just the regular LED lanterns that you can get, that goes great. I have 4 of those, put one in each room, and it's fine. I also have the little plug-in flashlights that turn on as soon as the power goes out.
Yeah.
And I have those strategically placed around the house, and it just makes life a lot easier.
Awesome. I had to look up those Luma noodles because that looks
amazing.
Really awesome.
$20.
Yeah, I'm gonna order some, probably for review. Amazon affiliates have been really generous the past few months, so I like to use that money and buy stuff to review for the show. And these Luma noodles are gonna go on. I'm gonna buy them. Have you used the that Lucy inflatable lantern?
Yes, I have three of those.
They are the best.
And I've been using those for a couple years now.
They, like, a lot of times, like, I'll get some of these things in for review, and they're kind of, like, not the best quality. My inflatable lantern, the Lucy, it lived outside of my porch, and it's been out there, you know, winter, summer, fall.
Yeah.
It's been out there for, like, 2 years or something, and it still works perfect. So... what are they, like $14, I think, retail?
About that. I got mine at, Lowe's here, and they were about $14, yeah. There's all kinds of different brands. And if you go to their website and buy them on the website, if you buy – I think it's at least when I bought mine. If you buy one, they'll send one to, like, Africa.
Oh, that's nice.
So that people can light – you know, have lighting there where they don't have to have smoke in their buildings and stuff. But I don't know if they still have that going on, but – yeah, I like them. Mine are finally starting to fog over just because they get so much abuse in this house. I have my R&D team, my 4-year-old, my 2-year-old. They destroy anything that can even break. And one of them has a puncture hole in it, which is, you know, it's going to happen.
Right.
And one of them is all fogged over just because it's been outside for so long. And we took two to Florida. We went to Florida to visit my mother and father-in-law, and they use theirs in their pool.
Yeah.
Because they float.
Exactly. And they're waterproof, since the, you know, they float and they're waterproof. So
yeah.
They're one of my top recommendations for just lights.
Well, they're so easy. They're collapsible, and they can they're like weigh almost nothing. I mean,
yeah.
I actually do some ultralight backpacking, so they're. I will use those because the extra couple ounces doesn't really matter that much unless you're doing the Appalachian Trail or something.
Yeah.
But, you know, just for a day hike and that sort of thing, they're worth it.
Yeah.
They're worth it.
I use mine camping to string inside of my hammock for basically reading with, you know.
That's what I use my Luma Noodle now for.
Yeah. I'm getting one. I will get one. For sure.
Because not only does it charge my my battery pack charge my phone, but it'll give me light. And it'll, like I said, it'll light this thing for 30 hours with a 20,000 milliamp hour
nice.
Battery pack.
I have a battery pack question we'll get to a little bit later.
Okay.
I'm going to pick your brain good.
All right.
Speaking of flashlights and lanterns, I think you've mentioned a few, but what do you use for flashlights and lanterns? Besides what you've mentioned already?
Well, recently I've been using – it's going to sound funny, but the flashlight I've been using is called Smart and Cool. I know. It has what
cool.
I want. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's a 18650. It takes an 18650 battery,
mm-hmm.
which is the lithium ion technology.
Right.
And a lot of things are transferring over to those, and I wanted to give those a shot. And, you know, I'm really starting to like these new batteries. I normally use the nickel metal hydride batteries, which are the just the standard rechargeable now.
Right.
The original, they were NiCad batteries. That's the old standard. They can recharge, you know, maybe 50 times and they're dead, maybe
right.
at the most. The nickel metal hydride batteries, they can be recharged up to 2,100 times.
That's amazing.
I know. I have over 100 of those, and if you for the price you pay for the like the double A's, if you buy them on Amazon and you for the price they have on there and you can recharge them 2,100 times, it comes out to 0.1 cent per battery. I know. I had to do the math 4 or 5 times. Just to make sure I did it right.
That's amazing.
Well, it's something like $23 for a pack of 12.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, what, two something a battery? divided by 2,100.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Which, obviously,
one tenth of a cent.
Yeah.
And I've had mine since 2012. And they're in all the kids' stuff, all the flashlights, all the remotes, everything in the house.
And you're a power user, so those batteries have been abused more than, like, say, the common
They have been
user.
So abused. Well, because you're supposed to use your batteries until you notice that they're kind of draining a little bit, then recharge them. Kids don't do that.
No.
They will play with their toys until they will not make a sound again.
Yeah, and they'll like shake it and try to get to reboot and then try to they'll destroy the sails until they're like, I need a new battery.
Yeah, and your remotes, they won't start failing until your batteries are damn near dead.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, all that stuff. The only thing I don't do that with is my flashlights. I recharge my batteries a lot when I'm using with flashlights because I want them topped off.
Right.
And I have a 16-bay battery charger, an 8-bay battery charger, and those are always completely full. So I have plenty of batteries charged. I also have one that does AA, AAAs, DCs, and even 9 volts. And that one's always full of Ds for my lanterns.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they get charged, but the kids just drain them. And if you go below 20% discharged, so, you know, you have 80% of the battery left. If you go below that, you're really damaging the battery.
Yeah.
But that's what they're made for. They're made to be recharged, you know?
Yeah, and you've basically been destroying them since 2012. And at this point, they're still working at least a little bit, right?
Yeah, some of the AAAs are starting to kind of lose a lot of energy. But a AAA only has half the energy a AA does anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm noticing those are getting really bad. But who cares? I bought them in 2012.
Yeah.
At this point, if I buy new ones, we're still ahead. You know how many batteries we would have had to have bought? Hundreds of dollars worth of batteries.
Yeah. And I know my co-host Mike, he it irks me, but he will only buy the cheapest batteries from everything's a dollar store where you get like 10 for like a penny or something. Ridiculous. Oh. And yeah, sure enough, they don't last. But his kids are abusing them just like your kids, like all kids.
He needs to get those end loop batteries.
He does, but I'm gonna try to convince
him. Somebody needs to gift him some batteries.
If I had not already bought him a custom logo for his Couch Potato Mike YouTube channel and a secret gift that he won't hear about, we won't even mention it on air because it's not Christmas yet. But I'm doing something with that logo for him. So, yeah, if
does it take batteries?
No.
Oh, because then you can just throw some end loops in there.
Yeah. No. And I don't know how big of a nerd you are, but today, after I record this podcast and go in the hardware store, and while he's out of town, surprise, surprise, I'm going to transform his bedroom door into that of a TARDIS from Doctor Who.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know that well.
Yeah. Yes. So that'll be an early Christmas present because I know him and his wife are out of the house, so I can get access to it. And
bigger
see
on
it.
The inside.
It is. man, I can't wait for the Christmas special. I've been jonesing. So let's see where we're at before this turns into the Doctor Who hour because I will geek out all the rest of the show.
Oh, that's fine. Let's go.
Yeah, yeah. How do you store Time Lord power? No. let's see. What do you do for life? Give me a like a 30,000 feet view of your backup power systems. Like, you know, I don't need all the details. We'll break it down in a second. But like, what are some of the processes you have in place?
Okay, my backup power systems. I have a 2 deep cycle battery bank system, which has the 2 of the largest deep cycle standard batteries you can get for marine batteries, group 31. And those are running to, I have 4 inverters, all different sizes. I have a 400, a 800, a 1300, and I think a 1600. And I can switch between those, whatever, you know, whenever I want to run whatever I need to run, really. And I have all my battery charging equipment hooked up so I can switch those over to battery if I need to, because right now they're running on the grid. Mm-hmm. Because there's no reason to run those off the batteries unless I need to. And they take such small amount of energy because they mostly keep batteries in them all the time that are charged anyway. Just keep them topped off. And I can switch this over to battery and run whatever I need to off the inverters. I can also start my car and run jumper cables into the garage to the batteries. And I can run my car and be charging my batteries at the same time. I also have a 7,000, it's actually peak, it's 8,000 some watt generator. And when the power goes out and it's out for over a day, I sit that in between me and my two neighbors' house, and we all three use the power off of that. That's why I got such a big generator.
Sweet.
Well, because my neighbors next to me are retired, and my neighbors behind me have a little kid. So, you know, plus maybe they'll gas it up for me, bring over some food, whatever.
Right.
So we're pretty good around here about that sort of thing. And those are my – I also have some solar panels, which I do not have up right now because I try to take them down for the winter.
Yeah.
Because here they're pretty much useless in the winter. I get a little out of it, but nothing to really make any difference. So I usually put those up in the spring, and I have 300 watts of solar. That's usually going to the battery bank as well. Right now the battery bank's being charged off the grid through a car charger, a really nice one, that'll keep everything topped off. And it's automatic. It's not a manual, because manuals will like overcharge. You have to watch it. The automatics will shut off and just dribble power into the battery bank, keep them 100%. And that's where I'm at right now with my backup battery and backup power system.
Awesome. And is the wind turbine you built, is that still being used, or did you?
I cannot have that in this area.
Oh,
I can't have that up in this area. I built it, and then I took it over to my parents' house because they lived in a place you could use it, and they used it for a while.
Yeah.
So, but that's down now. Yeah. I do have the motor back again, so I can put a bike on that if I need to.
Yeah. Which you have, I'm assuming it's a homeowners association.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
First time I've ever lived in a homeowners association, and I'll never do it again.
Yeah. More government for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna dig in and ask you about, I guess, your solar and wind turbine and the other stuff, which sounds like you're a pretty DIY guy. So how did you assemble your solar system?
Well, originally I got one of those Harbor Freight systems.
Like everybody.
Yeah, before I knew anything about it, and I didn't know that I'm paying like four times more than I should for the amount of wattage I get.
Yeah.
You know? And that's how I learned how to, which, it, you know, it's not bad to learn on, because you get all the equipment you need besides the battery.
Right.
You know, to run it, because you get like 45 watts of solar, you get some lights, and you get a charge controller. And that's kind of easy way to learn. But right now I've just been buying off Amazon. You can get 100 watt solar panels for around $149 last time I checked.
Wow, which is a lot cheaper than
It's like $1.50 a watt.
Yeah,
and Harbor Freight system was like two something. I got mine on sale. I think it's three something normally, but I got mine for like 200, maybe one something, because it was Earth Day.
Oh,
and they had I got mine a little cheaper, but still 45 watts for $200 and some. Plus you get a like I said, charge controller.
And with Amazon, you get free shipping. So, or Amazon exactly. Prime, if you have Amazon Prime, and you should.
Yeah, well,
you should.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
You save so much money.
You do. Yeah. And, yeah.
And next day, if you want.
Yeah. But, I've ordered stuff like at midnight, and it's been here like, you know, the afternoon mail. And it's like, wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That's amazing.
That's just so crazy. Have you seen their store?
I have not.
Oh my gosh. It's crazy. You can swipe your phone as you go in.
Uh-huh.
And everything you pick up, you just put in your pockets, and you can walk out, and it charges you.
That is going to be the future. That's going to be the way that stores are being run.
The first one's opening in Washington, I think, Washington State. Don't quote me on that. I have no idea. But I think it was it was on the news, and I think it was Washington State. I'm not sure.
Yeah, which is weird and sort of off topic that Walmart years ago installed RFID scanners in, like,
for that purpose,
all of the doors, all of the bays, like, they're all throughout the store, and they've never been used ever.
Well, that's because there was such an outcry from people saying, we don't want you monitoring everything we take home. We don't, you know, once we get home, how do we know you're not monitoring everything? People, it was a big outcry about that. And so they discontinued.
But
they said, okay, we won't go any farther with that.
When people realize how easy and convenient it is, when they're like, you know, because every internet meme's like, Walmart has 30 lines and only two cashiers. Like, when they realize you just load up your buggy and, like, walk out the door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, basically, you just take your little recyclable or reusable grocery bag in. You put everything in, and they use cameras and all kinds of stuff to see when you put stuff in your bag and when you take it back out and put it on the shelf.
Yeah.
I mean, they said they'll have as many employees in there as normal because they have to stock the shelves. I don't believe that because cashiers and stuff.
Yeah, no, that'll be...
But like you said, they have two cashiers and 30 lines, so...
Yeah, it'll be... I'll be kind of excited because I really... Yeah, I don't like self-checks, really, and I'd rather just load up and go like that. That would be better, but whatever.
we have a tendency to go off topic.
We do. That's the hallmark of this show. If people are listening for On Topic, then this is not the show.
I've noticed that when I listen to some of your shows, but I like it. I like the little tangents.
The tangents.
They're interesting.
Exactly. I don't want
sometimes
this to be
they're
a
more
rigid...
interesting than the actual subject.
Sometimes, yes. off topic. We did an episode on water storage one time, and it was like the most boring episode ever, just because we couldn't yes, water storage is important, but no, it is not a fun topic to talk about. Like maybe if I got
I went back. I did the same thing. I went back in the history of water storage and everything.
Yeah, which
I had to because you get a couple. You know, 55-gallon drums, and you put water in it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a lot. There's not a lot you can say about it.
Yeah, it's boring. So if any way to flash up that topic is more power. So have you tried any the weird ways to get solar panels? Like I remember one time going on a YouTube marathon of people, one, building their own solar panels from just solar cells and, soldering the backs, which some of it looked interesting. And then Stephen Harris has talked about getting slightly damaged solar panels that you can get them for free.
Sunshine to dollars.
Yeah, their power output is, significantly less, but, it's still free energy, so.
If that's the only choice you have, more power to you.
Yeah.
But I would rather buy something from Amazon that has a 30-day money-back guarantee, that has, warranties with it, that's made at a place that I can say, hey, call them up and say, hey, I have a problem with this. How do I fix this? Oh, just turn this little knob. I mean, I would rather have the 30-day money-back guarantee and all that stuff. But, I mean, if you don't have an income and you want solar, then, yeah, by all means, get the free stuff. But don't expect it to be shiny and brand new and
be as efficient
yeah
I mean to me
but I have no problem with that.
If it's free and you're just messing around, then it's fun. And if you're learning, so a lot of times I don't want to spend a lot of money on an experiment, especially if I don't think it's gonna work out, because I've done that a lot. You try these projects and it's like, oh, I just threw away $200. Yay.
That's how I felt after the Harbor Freight system.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So,
which I ended up selling to somebody last year at a garage sale.
How much did you make off of it? And did you
I didn't make anything off of it. I actually their house had burned down and they wanted just a small amount of solar to have a light on their house so that nobody breaks into it.
Right.
They just wanted to put a light out there. I said, "Okay, $50. There you go."
Yeah.
There was a battery with it and everything. It didn't even come with a battery originally.
Right.
But they were, in hard times. So sure, $50. I gotta have some money for it. I can't just give it away.
Right, but that's almost giving it away.
That was
a good.
Well, they were already 2 years old anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah. I love it when the person I'm interviewing answers my questions before I get to them. So like I'm sitting here all going, right. Well, that one's gone, that one's gone. I'm like, tell me about your battery bank. Well, you already did.
Well, you wanted to talk about a battery pack.
Exactly. I do that, which is next on there. So keeping your cell phone charged and other portable devices. I've seen some of the stuff that you have. But let's tell the listeners, you know, some options, because that's everyone's connected now all the time, and those things go dead a lot.
My phone never dies ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Ever.
So can anybody else say that?
I can't. My phone has
no matter what
died.
I do with it. I can watch video all day and my phone doesn't die. Well, the first thing I do, the stage one on that, I have a battery pack case.
Nice.
So when my battery starts getting low, I just hit the back of it and this little light turns on the back, shows me how many, it's four dots, basically 100%, 75%, 50%, 25%. And my battery pack turns on and will recharge my phone 100%, if not a little more, off the battery pack that's in the case itself. So I have two full uses of my phone every morning when I wake up. And that's my first line of defense right there. My second line of defense is battery packs that we were going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I have everything from a 4400, which is 4,400 milliamp hours, which is what all of these, including your battery in your phone, is measured by, milliamp hours.
Mm-hmm.
I have everything from a 4400 to a 10,000 waterproof, crush-proof, dust-proof one to a 20,000 milliamp hour, which will keep my phone charged for almost a week worth of use.
That, how big is that 20,000? And how
it is a pound?
So it's big.
Yeah, it's the size of two deck of cards sideways.
That's not bad at all.
I mean, it's a little shorter than the deck of cards sideways, but about two deck of cards maybe. Actually, what kind of phone do you have?
Samsung Galaxy S7.
Okay, is that how close is that to the iPhone 6 Plus?
I think they're darn near like identical.
It's the same size as my iPhone 6 Plus, but a little thicker.
Okay, so yeah, I'm sure it's if about the same for mine.
I'm sure most people probably either have some Samsung or a iPhone.
Yeah,
they're very popular models.
All the current model cell phones are pretty similar in profile.
Yeah.
Because the iPhones for a while suffered from like tiny screen syndrome, always been an Android guy. So like I still like somewhere on my desk where I'm recording this at is my T-Mobile G1, the very first Android phone ever, and it still boots to my rooted operating system.
My first cell phone had an extendable antenna, so yeah, I'm old.
Well. My first cell phone was a Nokia 5100, which, you know, I was 18, so that was quite a long time ago. But, you know, I was excited for my first smartphone. And
me too.
I skipped over, you know, iPhone came out first and was on the market for a while. And they're kind of expensive, and I don't like Apple. I don't like how closed source it is. I just don't really like Apple that much, so I've always been a Google fanboy, and the T-Mobile G1 was my thing.
Well, I got a MacBook. We actually have two MacBooks, and we had iPods and iPads, so it was just normal that we get an iPhone.
Right.
And now I love them, just because I know how to use every little bit of it, just like anything else, you know?
Exactly.
Okay, back on the subject.
Yeah, I was going to say, you learn what you have, and can't stand iPhones, like pecking at honey. Anyway, battery. So
okay, this 20,000 milliamp hour is a Lime Fuel, which they do not make anymore. They do not make the 20,000. They only make the 15,000 and a few other ones. But still, 15,000 milliamp hours is huge. So you buy two of them. They're $19.
Right.
They're $19.99 if they still have them out. But this one I got for $19, which was the original 20,000 milliamp hour. But you can find battery packs out there. Read all the reviews on Amazon. That's where I learned most of my stuff on most of my information on an item. I read the reviews.
Right.
If they have 4,000 reviews at a 4.5 star, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
If they have 4,000 reviews on 2 stars, it's going to be crap. I mean, it's easy.
And you kind of got to look at like the top, bottom, and middle, like, because a lot of the 4 and 5 star reviews are probably, and Amazon's getting smart to this, they're probably, you know, reviewers that were sent the product for free. And of course, generally they're going to be like, well, this is a decent product, unless, you know, you got sent something, it was crap. Like, usually if it's a sponsored, paid for, provided for item, people will review it better because they didn't actually have to spend money for it. And a lot of the bottom 1% are just
trolls.
Yeah, I was looking for a word.
Or they just got a defective product.
Yeah, exactly.
Which happens.
So I kind of just like I'll try to read the middle comments, like the people that, you know, like reviewed it like the middle of the ground, like, oh, you know, it was good, it did this, blah 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 blah. Because then you kind of eliminate the trolls and the paid ones, and you get sort of, I feel, a more honest review. But yeah, if you just, obviously if it has like, you know, hundreds of reviews and they're like, the overall is in the 4 and 5 star range, you're probably going to get a good product.
Yeah.
And normally Amazon is good at telling you, it's the way it, the relevance filters, like usually the first couple ones, if you type the right keywords to search for what you're looking for, will probably be good results. Without having to go to like the 5th and 6th page, because then you're looking at, you know, Chinese knockoff junk that's gonna not be as good. Generally,
true.
Sometimes it will though.
It all depends. They have a tendency to overrate what the battery pack is. Like instead of it being like a 20,000, it'll be a 15 in real life, but they'll say a 20,000.
Yeah, that's bad. I can't remember what it was, or I'd link to it, but I was watching this guy on YouTube that went and bought like a. One of those like car jump packs, you know, that you jump off your car with.
I hate those.
From China. Yeah, they have their uses. But they're not great, but yeah, they have their uses. And whatever it was, because it was up north, it was a store that I've never heard of or can't remember the name of. He went home, and in his garage, he just like started cutting it open and then cut open the battery packs. Like didn't cut them open, but cut open like the plastic covering the batteries.
Oh my gosh.
To show that the batteries inside that plastic shrink wrap were not even the milliamps that it says. Like, you know, and he ran like, you know, charge testers and controllers. He did all this stuff and was like, the whole thing is marketing. It literally doesn't have as much power as it's saying. Like these batteries.
Well, those batteries that are in those are the ones that for deer feeders. Do you know the square, the little sealed square ones or rectangle ones that you get for deer feeders?
Yeah.
I don't know if you're a hunter or not. They're about the same. They're the same size as those.
Yeah.
And they, if they come from China, not only do they sit on the shelf over there, and then they get transferred over here, probably on a ship, and then they get stored in the warehouse. And all that time, that battery is losing energy because it's not being charged. It's just sitting there dribbling energy out. So by the time you get it, part of its lifespan is already gone.
Right.
So, I don't know. Yeah, the battery pack I have is no longer available. Currently unavailable.
Right. I did an Amazon search for 20,000 milliamp hour portable power bank, and it looks like there's some reasonable rated ones.
Yeah, there was a red and black one on there I was looking at the other day. I don't know who makes it, but I was reading some of the reviews. It's okay.
Maybe it's the Kamashi. No, that's 1500. Why is it? Never mind.
Even 1500. If it's actually 1500, that'll charge your phone a lot.
Right.
I have a 4400 here, 4400 that my wife uses, and if her phone is at 20%, it'll charge her phone all the way. And she has a 6, not a 6 plus.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll charge her phone all the way, and in one full charge of this 4400.
Right. And you're
depending on how much money you want to spend. Go ahead.
I would say some of like even at your local box stores now you can find what are they like 5,000, 10,000 milliamp hours for under $10 usually.
Yeah. I mean, you don't know how, if those are actually that charged, you know, if they have that much capacity.
Right.
But who cares? They're $5.
Yeah.
Buy two of them.
Yeah. Buy two or four. Buy a handful of them. If they're on sale, you know.
Actually like those lipstick style.
Yes.
Those round cylinder ones.
Yes.
I like how the size of those.
I do too. I have one, and I used one to start a fire, actually, which worked because
arson.
Yeah. You use it just like you would a cell phone battery. You take your USB cable, the ones that you know you plug in there. You cut off the tips.
Yeah.
You touch it to steel wool, and sure enough, you can start a fire with a battery charger. So
it makes sense. It makes sense.
Exactly. I kind of was wanting to do an experiment to see if you can plug a USB cable into your phone, cut the other ends off, touch it to steel wool, and I'm like, maybe the feedback would fry the battery. I don't really know.
There shouldn't be a feedback.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing about batteries. They only give you what you ask out of them. It's one of the laws of whatever. I can't remember the law, but there's one of those laws, thermodynamics, I don't know. But it'll only give you what you ask out of it. It won't give you any more. That's just the nature of a battery.
Okay. I was iffy about, since, you know, when you touch the steel wool, you complete the circuit, so.
Well, like, I'll have you try it with your phone first, and then.
Yeah.
And then.
That's why I didn't try it. I'm like, my Galaxy X7 is like $600. I really don't want to do that. But yeah.
Mine's a little more than that, but only because of the name.
Yeah. Well, Samsung's name is. Well, actually, now it's been dragged through the mud since, you know, they explode.
Yeah. I heard the next update they're going to do, I heard it on the news today. The next update they're going to do might brick your phone if you have the one that's going to explode. Because there's still thousands of them out there that have not been returned.
Oh.
And on the next update, they're going to brick your phone so it can't be used.
Wonderful.
Or something along that lines. But, yeah, so you can't use it for calling or anything. They have to do something about it.
Well,
I mean, they can't have those phones out there that, you know, that might explode or whatever, catch on fire. They have to do something. And if people aren't going to bring them back, then they got to do something about it.
Yeah.
So.
That's terrible. but yeah. What else do I have?
We just have too much information.
We do. I'm having to sort of trunicate things and move around.
Well, if we're still on the battery packs, if money is not an option, or money is a no, I don't know. What am I trying to say? You know what I'm saying?
If
money is not an issue.
If you have an unlimited budget.
Yes. The most expensive battery pack I have is $200.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. But it's made by the same people that makes the Lumen Noodle, and it's the best one on the market. It's called the Pronto 12. And the reason this is the best on the market is because you can plug this into the wall and it will charge enough in 5 minutes to charge your phone once.
Wow.
In 5 minutes. It's a super fast charger. And in 1 hour, it completely charges. And I think this one's a 10,200 milliamp hour. And it also has a 12 volt out. So you can plug their adapter in and have a 12 volt socket.
Nice.
Yeah. I can run an emergency, those emergency flashing lights that you put on your truck. I can run one of those off of it.
Nice.
It puts out enough power to run that.
I'm jealous now.
It's the only one that I've found. Actually, I heard about this from Stephen Harris, but this is the only one I've found that does that. That charges that fast.
Which is
crazy. And
it
will put out 2.4 amps, which is what your maximum house charger will put out for your phone out of two ports simultaneously. So it can charge two phones at the maximum rate.
Wow.
It's amazing.
I'm going to make sure I get that in the show notes too. That's amazing. So, sort of an addition. I don't know if your iPhone does it, but I love that my Samsung Galaxy X7 can rapid charge with the right charge and the right cord. You know, I can get a charge in 30 minutes or so. 30, 40 minutes, like full charge from dead, which is nice. You know, like, it's nice.
I don't know how fast mine charges, to be honest, because I just hit the button on the back.
Oh, yeah.
And then I just charge it up at night. But I don't know. With a 2.4 amp charger and then a fast charging cable, because not all cables are made alike.
No, no.
Go ahead.
Power Practical. They did a Kickstarter for the thermal pots, I think.
Yes.
They had cables for a while and a cable monitor to determine if your cable and charging input was good quality. Like it had a little meter.
Yeah,
like,
I have one.
Yeah, mine broke after a while, but because now it just says everything's bad. I think it just doesn't really work. But it was really convenient to determine, you know, like, oh, this charging port here, my car is weak, and that's why my phone's not charging.
Exactly.
So that's a neat little tool to have there. Real quick, I guess we got a few more questions. So looking through your podcast you did, you talked in one episode about off-grid refrigeration, which is something a lot of people are interested in.
And? No, I'm just kidding. Two of the worst things you can do with electricity is heating and cooling, because they're such a big draw on energy.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to keep things cool during a power outage, how we do it, we use ice batteries. You ever heard of those?
No, I've not.
Okay. Basically, take a 2-liter, fill it 2/3 full, and put it in your freezer.
Yeah.
I have every time we start emptying out the freezer throughout the week, I put bottles of water in there.
Yeah.
What these do is they freeze, and when the power goes out, it does the same thing as a cooler when you put ice in it. We don't have to – if we have a power outage for a day or two, we don't worry about our freezer.
Yeah.
Because it stays cold.
Uh-huh.
Because a BTU the measurement of moving 1 gallon of water 1 degree Fahrenheit. That's what a BTU is, British Thermal Unit.
I've never thought that name made any sense.
It takes 140 BTUs to melt 1 gallon of ice from 32 frozen to 32 liquid. Because it does a phase change at 32.
Ah.
It can be 32 and be frozen and 32 and be liquid. But there are a lot of degrees in between 32. 32.1, 32.2.
Right.
And in between there is when it does its phase change. It takes 140 BTUs to cause that phase change. Because they're changing the phase of matter from solid to liquid. So there's a lot of power in that frozen 2-liter.
That, yeah.
So if you have a cooler or you have a refrigerator, power goes out. If you want to transfer everything to a cooler, if you have a 7-day cooler, then do so and put the 2 liters in there or whatever. Or you can just have the 2 liters already in your freezer. And when the power goes out, you don't have to worry about it for almost 3 days. And even then, as long as you're not opening it, it's your gravy.
Right.
Your gravy.
So that's definitely, yeah. And there's an added benefit that if it does power goes out while you're not there, if you set those half full bottles a certain way, you can see that they melted and the stuff in there might not be good anymore.
True.
Which I like, because, you know, no one wants to come back home from going on vacation and start eating their, you know, frozen ribeye steaks and then get food poisoning because, you know, your power's out for a week and you didn't know.
Yeah, exactly.
So, twofer. I like twofers. there you go. Yeah.
I also have a ice maker.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was. I've been looking at one. They're at a store, and I've been lustily glancing upon it.
Which one? Do you know which?
I don't know. It's just the tabletop ice maker.
Yeah, that's kind of the kind I have.
Yeah.
I think mine, don't quote me on it, makes 20 pounds of ice a day.
Wow.
Maybe 25 pounds of ice a day. And you fill up the little tray with water, plug it in, and it will sit there and make ice. And if you don't use that ice, they'll just fall down and remelt and be reused by the system. So you take them out as you need them. You just have this plugged into your generator. You can have it plugged in your battery backup system. You can start your car and plug an inverter, you know, attach an inverter to your battery. Mm-hmm. You can run the ice machine. You know, especially if you have a generator, while you're charging your battery bank system and you're running some stuff throughout the day, you're doing your washing machine, whatever, you can be making ice for the night to put in your cooler to keep all your stuff cold. And what I do is something I heard on another show, run quiet, run deep, like the submarines do. I charge all my stuff throughout the day, mm-hmm. when I can see my generator outside. And if I'm not letting the neighbors use it at the time, I bring it in at night and run off my battery bank system. That way I don't have to worry about someone taking my generator. And then in the morning, put it back out there, start it up, and charge everything back up.
Excellent. And obviously you have enough batteries that you can charge them during the day, and that'll easily get you through the night when you really don't have that high of a power consumption.
Yeah, because what do you want at night? You just want basically light. And everything in this house is gas anyway. Okay. So that's a plus for us.
I was going to ask about heating. Like, I know electric blankets, I use them a lot, are pretty darn power efficient. Way better than heating an entire room.
Yeah. So. Well, what we use for that, we have a propane heater that I bring in. And it has oxygen shut off, a really good one, so you don't have to worry about it in the house. It runs off a grill propane tank. And it'll run 72 hours on low.
Which one is that? I've got the Buddy Burner, the small one, not the double one.
Ours is the Pro Temp.
Pro Temp.
Yeah, the actual propane container sits inside of it. The 20-pound.
Wow.
And what I do is I watch around here, and once in a while, we live in a little upscale area, I guess. And once in a while, when people are moving, they throw their grill out, and sometimes they throw their propane tank out too.
Nice.
Especially if it looks a little rusty,
right.
They'll throw it out. I just get it and I scrub that off and repaint it white, and then I can take it back down and refill it. So I have five propane tanks, nice. Five 20-pound propane tanks.
Yeah.
And not only do we grill with them, but I can use them on the heater. So we always keep at least four in reserve. When I throw one in the grill, I go down and fill the other one. So we have four constantly, plus whatever I have in the grill. So we have, 72 hours times four?
Not
plus
bad.
Plus more. Yeah. So when we were out for a week ice storm 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we were fine with heating. So. Yeah.
And that was – did you cordon off part of your house, or did you just try to heat a larger area with that?
When that thing's on high, it will melt you out of a room. Yeah. So what we did, we put that in a central location in the house, and then we started our wood-burning fireplace, which is not very efficient. It's not an insert.
Right.
It's just a regular wood burner. But that warmed up this room. And then the propane, because we didn't want any of the pipes freezing,
right.
And we have, you know, pipes throughout the whole house, obviously. So we kept that in a centralized location and just heated up the whole area. I also hooked up my battery bank and took a box fan and blew the hot air down the hallway.
Gotcha.
So, and then when we take a shower, we have two showers, and we took a shower in the farthest distant shower that we had. So that heated up those rooms back there as well. We just left the door open and everything.
Right.
So the whole house actually stayed pretty warm.
Excellent. I know. So I live in a tiny house, and the little Buddy Burner will, if I leave it on,
yeah.
It will produce, like, if I leave it on all day, like for one of the 20-pound things, it will get too hot in here.
Oh yeah.
Last year I had one. I've gone through a bunch of different heaters, and my current setup is what I'm favorite with. Well, I like it the most at the moment. But last year I had one of the bigger. Like 360 degrees kerosene heaters.
Yeah.
And it was too hot. Like, yeah. I'd run it for an hour, like on the lowest set, like trying to push the knob even lower. And it was still too hot. I don't really like, for me, 61 degrees is pretty comfortable. That's, I think, about where I'm at right now.
I have to have it warmer in this house just because of the kids and my wife.
Yeah, the wife.
We might eventually move to Florida. I live in Northeast Indiana, almost Michigan, and she wants to move to Florida because that's where her parents and brother live. But if I had my way, I'd move north. I love cold weather. I love everything that has to do with cold weather. And she
Nice.
likes hot, and I hate hot. But, happy wife, happy life.
Yeah,
So we'll probably eventually be moving down there.
I was
I have
like,
to deal with hurricanes instead of snowstorms.
which will present a whole new content for your show.
But it
Preparing
will
for
be about
hurricanes.
battery backup systems still,
Exactly.
and solar, and because there's a lot more solar down there than there is here
Yeah. What if
year round.
I say, what if my favorite YouTube channels, or used to be, they don't really do much anymore, was they were in Florida. It was the Green Power Science Channel. They did a lot of stuff with
Yeah,
Frenzel lenses.
he had a really, really cute wife.
Yeah,
I remember. Yeah, Green Power Science, Green Power Science.
Dan and something Rojas. Dan and
Yeah, Green
Michelle.
Power Science, I think. Yeah,
Yep, that's them. And
because they had a Harbor Freight system too originally.
yeah, and they did a lot of neat it, like they made a
Yeah.
giant not Frenzel lens, but basically like a Frenzel lens out of, like, I think clear plastic and water
Yeah,
to, and they were
saw
grilling
that.
steaks with it.
Yeah,
And I'm like,
it's
that's,
crazy.
yeah, so fun channel. Used to be
I
that.
like their the thing that they did that I like the best is their mosquito catcher.
I don't think I saw that one.
They used a fan, how they used a fan, and they just ran it with a screen. You'll have to look at it. Green Power Science, and it's a mosquito catcher.
Yeah, I'm gonna make sure I include that in the show notes, 'cause I like them.
It caught all kinds of stuff, all kinds of mosquitoes. But if you live in Florida, no matter how many you catch,
It's yeah.
it's not going to make any difference.
No.
It's like bug zappers actually draw bugs to your area.
Yeah. Stupid. Yeah. It's here, our problem is ticks, here in Tennessee.
Southern Indiana has a problem with them as well.
Yeah, does it not get that cold in the winter? Because usually, like, I know in the northern places that, well, obviously southern Indiana probably doesn't, but like northern, like, it kills the ticks off in the winter, and then you get a little bit back in the
Oh
summer.
yeah, we never have a problem with ticks up here. But
Yeah.
down in the Hoosier National Forest, they have warnings every year.
Hoosier.
I used to go there every year and do a 3-day survival course down there.
Nice. Oh.
Or attend one. I would not be the teacher, but
Right. Right. Yeah, I was just checking the weather. It finally made it up to 32 here in Tennessee, and it had, like, it started out as 18 degrees, which it was really weird for this early in the season for us. But anyway, and that's off topic.
we have about 5 to 10 inches coming our way here tomorrow.
I am.
Well, we live up by Lake Michigan, so we get lake effect.
Oh yeah, I've got. I hope all of my northern listeners are safe with that. Like,
Yeah.
it's, yeah, I know Wisconsin's already had a good deal of snow. I think I saw two flurries the other night. So,
We already had a snowfall where the kids could go out and make snowmen, but
wow,
well, because you were chatting with me at the time,
yeah, oh
but that's
yeah.
gone. That's gone. There's no more snow here.
That's
That
still
all went
like,
away. It
yeah.
rained and it's gone.
We haven't, yeah, it, we have not got snow yet. Usually February is when we start getting snow, which, yeah,
January is usually the worst time here.
everyone up north is like, I hate you, James. So I have one more question, and then I've got some rapid fire questions,
All right.
and then I'll let you go. All right, you had a podcast on pirate radio, and you said it was because of a Christian Slater movie, and I remember
Yes.
that movie, Pump Up the
One of my
Volume.
favorite movies ever.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That was, I'm,
It wasn't really even well acted,
no.
but at the time it was something new and fresh and different,
Yeah.
and you just didn't hear about it back then.
No. And yeah, Christian Slater made a lot of good movies. So, did you build a pirate radio?
Actually, I bought a off of Amazon, of course. You know, right. I bought an FM transmitter, a pretty good powered one, and I get if I have the right antenna, I think I can get 50 miles with that.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I have it. It's against the law to broadcast on it.
Right.
But it's one of the higher end ones that people use for their house when they decorate for Christmas and they have the music playing. You can drive by and tune into their channel. It's that sort of thing.
Never heard of that before. That's awesome.
Really? Yeah, that happens a lot over here. Yeah, people will choose an off frequency channel. And when you pull up, they'll have a little sign saying, tune into 92.1. And they'll tune 92.1, and the lights will be blinking with the music.
Huh. And, yeah. And it's legal to be play it in your own property? Is that what, the legality
if it's
is?
If it's under a certain wattage and it's not interfering with other radio stations.
Okay.
But mine can crank up pretty high. So just like with the two-way radios I use. They're Baofeng.
Uh-huh.
And you're supposed to have a the kids are home. You're supposed to have a license to use them because they're ham radios. Just a minute, guys. But these will transmit on the weather station. They will transmit on EMS, fire, everything.
Oh, wow.
Which you're not supposed to be able to do.
Yeah.
But, whatever.
I was gonna say.
But the pirate radio station, that's one of another reason I got into the podcasting, just because of those type of shows that I watched, and I said, oh, that would be great, sock it to the man type of thing.
That's I have thought of myself as Christian Slater's character in that movie so many times. I'm sure at some point in the 129 episodes, I have called myself. What was he?
Happy Harry Hardon.
Yeah, I was gonna say I didn't want to misquote his name, and especially with your kids just walked in the door.
Well, because he went to Hubert Humphrey High School.
Yeah,
and so he wanted the same initials.
Nice.
I don't know the movie or nothing. I don't know if I haven't watched it a gazillion times or anything. I can't quote it.
I rented it on VHS tape, so I think I've only seen it once.
And I have it on DVD.
Nice. When I was growing up. Christian Slater was one of my favorite actors in pretty much all of those movies in that time period.
Well, Gleaming the Cube.
Or Brother's Justice, depending on
which one. Well, because I was a skateboarder back when I was a teenager.
Yes.
So Gleaming the Cube was the movie.
Yes, which is why I always wanted a diamond plate steel skateboard. Was for that movie.
Yeah.
And they weigh 50 pounds if you build one, so.
I know.
And on that bombshell, let's get to the rapid fire questions.
Can I bring up one more thing?
Absolutely.
Okay. I've been asked before on shows what I prefer, hydroelectric, wind turbine, or solar.
Uh-huh.
And usually what I end up saying is I prefer solar, not just because I have solar panels, but if you have a very large, let's say 20 acres, a homestead or just woods, and you need power, let's say on one corner you have an outbuilding that needs 100 watts. On another corner, you have an outbuilding that needs 400 watts, and then you want 500 at your little base station. Well, if you have a wind turbine, you can't cut that into three different sections. And if you happen to have water running through and you have the rights to use the water and everything else, and you have a hydroelectric sitting there, you can't cut that into three different sections. But if you have solar and you have 1,000 watts each 100 watt panels, you can take 100 here, 200 there, 300 here. You can divide that up. And that's one of the reasons I like solar the most. Plus, it's quiet. And if you're worried about shit hit the fan sort of thing happening, do you want a big windmill up there running and making noise for everybody else to see?
Yeah. You brought up a good point with the hydroelectric. I've never really liked it that well because of all the legalities, you might not have the ability to put your micro hydroelectric in this water and blah, blah, blah. And it's
I mean, it is guaranteed energy.
Yes.
I mean, it's one of the most guaranteed there is, because it runs it in the daytime, it runs at nighttime, it runs depending on how your winters are. It runs in the winter, it runs in the summer, 24/7.
Yeah.
But it's just water and electricity don't mix very well to begin with, and you got to have running water. But if you have all those, then yeah, it's a good way to go.
Yeah. I remember this one thing that showed diagrams on how to turn it into mechanical power to do some stuff in the kitchen, and I was like, that's a neat idea. It was in like the Back to Basics book. But anyway, let's move on to the rapid fire one.
That's fine.
So, most recommended book or favorite? So, if you recommend a book a lot, or if you just happen to personally have one that you like the most.
Yes. I think her name is Bridget Mars. I'm probably getting that wrong. It's something Mars. And it's Dandelion Medicine.
All right. I assume, what's it about?
It's about every type of thing you can do with a dandelion. Roots, nice. Stem, because they're everywhere. Dandelions used to be a something people would grow in their garden. It used to be something you could that farms would have. They would have rows of dandelions even.
And now it's the most hated weed in the world, almost.
It is. Oh, actually, I found some down at my local Meijer store like 2 years ago. Dandelion greens. I was shocked.
Wow.
And they were huge. They were humongous, but they were probably grown in a greenhouse somewhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, everything you can do with all kinds of. Did you look that up? I heard you typing.
I was writing down the name. I was writing down the name so I can include it.
Yeah, it's called Dandelion Medicine. That's my favorite. If I have to go for second, it'd probably be Encyclopedia of Country Living. But
oh yeah,
that's very close to the second.
Yeah. So recently I was even looking like the tea section at Walmart, and what they like on their labels, they'll show like the unit price, like the price per ounce. They have a new dandelion tea, and the price per ounce was like almost $4 for like the little box of tea, and I forget what the price per ounce was, but it was really high. And I'm like, and people pay a lot of money to kill their dandelions, and someone out there has a dandelion farm selling this tea right here.
Yeah, that's the thing. You can't get a decent dandelion right now because people put chemicals on there. You can't use those plants.
Yeah.
Those chemicals are in those plants. So where are you going to go to find a decent dandelion? You can't go on the side of the road. They spray that stuff too.
Yeah.
And it's hard to find dandelions in the middle of the woods.
It seems like over the past couple years, I've actually seen less. Like, I remember growing up, dandelions were everywhere. Mm-hmm. And you know, here in the South. And it seems like now it's like almost like, oh, hey, there's a dandelion. I haven't seen one in a while, which is kind of scary.
Well, you can move up here and have all of mine that you want.
Or you can move here. Like, plantain is like our entire yard is made of plantain. So
I love plantain. If something beats out dandelion for me, it'd probably be plantain or white man's foot or whatever you want to call it. There's broadleaf plantain, narrowleaf plantain. It's called all kinds of things.
Right. And it works. It's good. I used it.
It's amazing.
This past summer I got stung by a wasp in the back of my neck, and it was
work.
Gone by morning. Like, I was.
How did you use it?
I just crushed it up and like put not a Band-Aid. I put like a first aid tape in the back of my neck to hold it on there, and went to sleep and woke up and there was no trace of it whatsoever.
The best way to use that for that sort of thing is put it in your mouth, chew it up, and then put it back there.
Yeah.
I know it might sound a little disgusting to some people, but I grew up on a farm. I've seen a lot worse than that. Just crush it up in your mouth and put it back there.
Yeah.
And that'll do it.
I just put it between my two hands and just, you know, frictioned it until it was macerated. But I will give chewing it a try next time because I think I've chewed it before for a stomach ache, and I think that worked as well.
Yeah.
Next rapid fire. Sorry, my voice is starting to go from the bronchitis. I'm like,
sorry.
I ran out of a drink, and
we might have to do another show.
You are welcome back anytime, and I would not mind going on your show if you said you had a guest spot. So if you ever want me on, drop me an email. You know my line.
All right.
So this is and we've kind of touched on this a little bit, little not really, but this is the Survival Punk Podcast, and music is a core tenet of our philosophy. So what song are you listening to at the moment? What's helping you get through the day?
What am I listening to? A lot of kids' music.
Oh.
Since I have kids.
Hopefully not
kids. The Sound of Silence. Somebody remade it. I can't remember the name of the guy. Crud. Somebody remade the Sound of Silence by Simon Garfunkel into kind of more of a rockish heavy metal. Wait. And, oh my God, it is amazing.
Is it,
the ball headed guy?
Yes, it's, they do that song Down with the Sickness, right?
It's so amazing. I don't know. I know him by this song. That's why I tell you. But it's
Disturbed. It's Disturbed.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
I'm pretty
sure. Everybody needs to listen to it.
Yep. It is Disturbed Sound of Silence, by the way.
Have you heard it?
I have.
It's insane.
Because you would not think that their lead singer, whose name I don't know, could produce that song. Because, you know, you listen to, like, Down with the Sickness, and there's some, like, tendency to be sort of screamo in it, and this song is not. It's just pure good singing, like chilling to the bone.
Yeah, and I really like the original. I mean, a lot. And this thing, I think I like this one better. I have to be honest.
I would agree.
It's amazing.
It's who is it? I love when songs are changed like that. Like when someone remakes them, and you prefer the remake better.
I know.
When I was in high school, Johnny Cash redid the Nine Inch Nails song, I Hurt Myself Today. Oh.
Really?
Oh, that was chilling, dude.
That's a good song to begin with.
Yeah, and I listened to his, and then I listened to theirs, and I'm like, nope, Johnny nailed it, guys. Sorry.
Actually, no, I think I have heard that, now that you mention it.
Yeah, I mean, it was probably 20 years ago, 15 years ago.
Yeah, I have heard that. Yeah, definitely.
So what top advice could you give to our listeners about anything, backup power or survival or living?
I read a lot of books, Les Shroud books, all kinds of survivalists. And the one thing I've taken away from there, which I've always kept in my mind, is when you're in a survival situation, lose your knife, lose your life.
Mm. Yeah.
That's your biggest. If I had to be, they always say, hey, if you're stranded on an island, you can have one thing. My knife every time. Because I can do so many things. You know how hard it is to find? I've done survival classes. You know how hard it is to find something sharp?
Yeah.
In the wilderness? And even if you do, it does not stay sharp. You break a rock, that thing does not stay sharp.
No.
It's dull after two or three cuts.
No.
It is so hard, unless you get obsidian or something. It is so hard to have a sharp edge in the wild.
And well, I don't know about you, but I've not found obsidian here locally in Tennessee, and getting that
slate
to,
probably yeah, for you guys.
Getting it to be a usable knife can be a lot of work. Do you read a lot of science fiction? You said you read a lot. I read the book Battlefield Earth by L. Ron Hubbard.
No, I haven't read that one.
I'd actually highly recommend that. And anyone that's seen the movie and doesn't want to read the book, they literally almost have nothing to do with each other, like most book movie translations.
Yeah.
But in there, you know, like aliens had taken over the world and the human population. It was basically a post-apocalyptic world for these people. They're living pretty much hunter-gatherer type existence. And the knowledge of making knives was gone. So they were using a lot of like broken shards of glass. And when the main character like came across like some knives, you know, like in an abandoned, burned out city, you know, like he gave them to his mom and she was blown away by like, you know, a kitchen knife, like the ability to like,
yeah,
just, you know, because like you said, cutting utensils are really hard to make. And if you are in a survival situation, you can use that cutting utensil to then make all the other utensils you need for your survival.
Exactly.
But making that cutting utensil is the hardest one. Yeah. So
it's kind of like making fire. Once you make fire, your life gets so much easier.
Yes.
because you can make so many things with fire.
Yes. And, yeah. Which is why you should carry like 100 Zippo lighters or big lighters, 100 big lighters.
Big, yeah.
That's not Zippo. Forget Zippo. Last question. And no, you cannot take a knife. So this is a question we've started asking to all of our guests. You are stranded on a desert island. All of your survival needs are taken care of. What one non-survival item would you take with you?
Non-survival item. I would say a satellite phone. No, probably that's a hard one.
Yeah. Yeah. We've gotten some
because I
could
use so
answers.
Many things for a survival item.
Right. It can be used for a survival item, but it's not a like, well, I need my knife or I need this magnifying lens to start fires with. All of those are settled.
I would take a bucket.
A bucket.
It's one of the things, another hard thing to find in a survival situation.
Containers.
Containers.
Yeah. Containers.
So
are
I would
really
say
hard.
Take a bucket.
Metal or plastic? Just curious.
Metal because I can boil water in it.
Exactly.
And it won't break like a plastic would.
Yeah.
So I'd say bucket.
I remember. Yeah. There's so many like fun things to do with 5 gallon buckets. Like my buddy Jeff Radke from the Lost Skills podcast. I think it was last summer, he had this like 5 gallon bucket challenge where he was encouraging people to build things with 5 gallon buckets because you can build pretty much anything. They're like coconuts on Gilligan's Island. And he built, I think, a shop sink. I built one of those 5 gallon bucket air conditioners, which.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It kind of works. I mean, it's kind of useful. You know, and just like I have a 5 gallon bucket. Gravity-fed water system for my sink. So 5 gallon buckets are amazing.
Yeah, I'd say a bucket.
Yep, awesome.
Is that a good answer? I don't know. I don't know what your other answers were from people.
Off the top of my head, we had one lady that wanted to take her husband, a fitness guy in Canada, wanted to take his slack line to practice that on the beach, and. The mind reader in Chicago wanted to take his Wing Chun Kung Fu training dummy.
What?
So, yeah, you know, he's like, oh, I've got survival.
Okay, I think I win.
Practice my Kung
I think
Fu.
I win.
Yeah, yours is probably the most useful for survival. But I don't know. Off topic, I kind of want to do slacklining. Like, that just seems fun, but I'm clumsy, so I'd probably break my ankle. Yeah. But
well, if you had fruit trees, you wouldn't have to worry about it.
True. Wait.
You just go pick an apple.
Oh, yeah. Broke my leg. I just eat an apple or coconut or banana.
Yeah. Why not?
So it has been great chatting with you, Harlan. This is one of my better podcasts.
Well, I enjoyed myself, James. Thank you.
Yeah. So let's hope, unlike Paul Wheaton, that we can actually hear you. and hopefully... I think the listeners got a good amount of information off of it. Got a few nuggets of things
good.
They'll be probably buying on Amazon real soon. So,
do you have affiliate links?
I do.
Well, guys, go through his affiliate links.
It definitely helps out, and my personal commitment is to use – so any money I bring in from the show either covers show costs – or Lumen goes
noodle.
For advertising or things to review or, you know, I mail things out to listeners. So if you go through Amazon and you buy stuff, then I'm either going to – well, I'm going to buy stuff to review that you'll get to read about. So if there's things that you want to see reviewed to actually know if they're worth a hoot, you can go through the affiliate link and I'll buy more stuff so you can read about it.
Sounds good.
Exactly. So it's been great having you on. Where can people find you at online?
I prefer them to go to Facebook, Low Out Living Podcast, or they can check me out on iTunes.
Awesome. And then those links will be in the show notes. I did a lot of Googling. I found your iTunes and some like WordPress sites and whatnot. But
I don't really do much with those anymore. But if they want to go there, all my shows are linked there as well. All my older shows.
Right.
I haven't linked those up in about a year.
I'll have those links and...
I used to have an affiliate link as well for Amazon, which I don't have anymore. So some of the items that are up there are not affiliated with me anymore. So go to your guys' link and buy them through there.
You should consider doing that again. I think Amazon did something recently to make
the links
more
enough.
Lucrative.
I didn't sell enough.
Well, I'm going to end the show and then I'm going to tell you something.
Okay. All right.
So yeah, it's been great having you on, Harlan. This is James from Cyberpunk Podcast. DIY to survive, you guys.
See ya.
Yeah.